Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. Thanks so much for joining me for this and hopefully many other episodes. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. You can listen there, but there are also links there to hear the show on all kinds of podcast listening apps. And there are links on the website to Catholic Sports Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can always send comments through the website. Plus, you can post thoughts, suggestions, and engage with other listeners in the show's Facebook group, which is called CSR Listeners. There's a button for that, too, on CatholicSportsRadio.net. Let me know what you like about the show, any particular guests you've really enjoyed, testimonies that have really spoken to you. Most importantly, let me know how Catholic Sports Radio has helped you in your faith life. And please help me spread the word about the show. I'd be most grateful if you would tell others to listen in as well. By the way, if this is your first time listening, thank you. And do go back and listen to previous episodes of Catholic Sports Radio. There have been a lot of great guests, a lot of really good testimony. As for my ministry moment for this episode, if you're a sports fan and you talk with enough other sports fans, chances are good that you know someone like I do. Recently, I was chatting with a friend who lives here in the Tampa Bay area, but he is originally from New York and talks about going to Yankee Stadium as a kid and now in his adult life having gone back there to see a baseball game in the quote-unquote new Yankee Stadium. But while he continues to pull for them, he willingly embraces the Tampa Bay Rays because he has lived here long enough and recognizes that they're the home team. And likely to the dismay of Yankees fans, he has changed. Even though they're in our division, I don't hold it against him, instead recognizing and admiring that people can change and should not be judged by their past. This is who this friend of mine is now. It's just like what we read in Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 26 to 28, which say, "When the just turn away from justice to do evil and die, on account of the evil they did, they must die. But if the wicked turn from the wickedness they did and do what is right and just, they save their lives. Since they turned away from all the sins they committed, they shall live, they shall not die." Friends, regardless of what team someone else used to root for and whatever they used to do, recognize the change and love and embrace them for who they are now. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is in his 20th season as the head football coach at Wingate University, where he is the program's all-time winningest coach. Previously, he was an assistant coach at the University of Buffalo, and before that, he was an assistant coach at Gettysburg College and a graduate assistant coach at Georgia Tech. As a student athlete, he had played offensive line at Gettysburg College after having played football in high school as well. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Joe Reich.
Hey, Bruce, how you doing today?
Good, Joe. Thanks. Thanks for making time to do this. Looking forward to this.
Yeah, definitely. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to it.
Joe, from what I just read, it seems obvious that football is all you've ever known your whole life, you might as well say.
Right.
But similarly, you've also only known one faith your whole life.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm very fortunate in that I have two great parents, that raised me up in the Catholic Church. And, you know, I attended St. Paul's Church, Catholic Church in Annville, Pennsylvania. I'm originally from Cleona, Pennsylvania, the town over from Annville. And, I was very, very fortunate in that I had a very strong parish priest by the name of Monsignor Thomas Smith. He was Father Smith at the time and eventually became Monsignor. And Monsignor Smith actually, if I had this correctly, I believe he was one of the guys that kind of moved everybody around and was in charge of moving people from parish to parish in terms of where each priest were going to go. So fortunately, he was able to stay at St. Paul's for an extended period of time. So I was very fortunate, and from the time I was little, that we had such a strong leader in the faith with Monsignor Smith all the way through high school. I was an altar server all the way through high school. And that really, having Monsignor Smith just as a really strong leader, along with my own parents, is just really, I don't know, I just really grabbed onto the faith and kind of, it's been with me my entire life. It's been a huge part of my life ever since then.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that growing up you did not attend any Catholic schools. So this could be a potential teaching moment.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do, and or maybe what did your parents do to make sure that you stayed close to your Catholic faith, since I am implying that you weren't getting it at school?
Sure, absolutely. So I think the big thing with us when we were younger was we were very involved in church. My dad did all the church bazaars and was the guy that would, you know, he was a metal shop teacher in high school. So he was building all the stuff and tearing it down and putting it up and bringing us along with him. And, you know, we became really involved in that. And, you know, just it was one of those things where it was, you know, the true small town church experience, where it was the center, almost the center of part of our lives. You know,
wow.
So we would get involved there, and I became an altar server, I think, when I was in fourth grade, and I did that all the way up through high school.
Mm.
You know, through my senior year, the whole thing, and it was really I got to the point where I was doing it every week. I would just kind of joke that I'd walk in, and the guy that was in charge of the altar service actually was a teacher at Ledman Catholic, although I didn't go to Ledman Catholic. I'd walk in, he'd just look at me, just kind of point in the back. All right, I'll go to the back. So it got to the point where I was serving every week, and I really enjoyed it. I had a friend that I was in the same grade with who is now a Catholic priest in that area, in the Harrisburg Diocese in Pennsylvania, and we were good friends. And he knew from the time he was in high school that he wanted to be a priest. So it was kind of neat. You know, it was one of the deals. I knew, I knew I wanted to coach and teach, and he knew he wanted to become a priest. And it was like, I went to his ordination, the whole thing.
Wow.
It was just something we did. You know, I really felt connected to the church. I really felt like this was where I was supposed to be. And you mentioned the Catholic school thing. It just wasn't, you feel kind of called one way there. My dad were both teachers in public schools, and I ended up going to the school that my mom was teaching at. But I never felt like I was disconnected from the church in any way. I went to CCD every weekend, and I went all the way up through my senior year. I went to CCD, so it was really,
wow.
You know, I felt like Monsignor Smith was such a strong leader that I was able to really stay connected with the church through high school.
See, and this is a good teaching moment, listeners, because Joe did such a great job of describing a sense of community, and that his family was so involved with the church, because it would be real easy for someone to say, what did I do? I went to Mass every Sunday. Okay. You know, that's like the foundation. Like, of course, you know, I expect him to say, I went to church every Sunday. My family went together. But so to hear about how connected they were with the parish and with the events and with their father being involved, That's a great lesson to learn from. Speaking of which, your father played football at Penn State.
Yes.
And he went on to coach at the college and high school levels. Was there ever a doubt with you that football was going to be your sport also?
No, not really. No, both my brother and I were three sport athletes in high school.
Wow.
And I can tell you where I was when I made the decision. I want to be a football coach. It was my junior year in high school. I was sitting in my guidance counselor's office, who also was the football coach. And he had asked me a question, and then he had to leave the room, and I was sitting there, and I had never really thought about it before. I knew there were certain things that I wanted to do. My dad used to joke around with me, and all the time you're going to become a priest. I'm like, no, I'm not going to become a priest.
Mm.
I'm going to have my own ministry though. And that's going to be, you know, and then he would say, he would be like, look, you can have just a good ministry. You don't have to become a priest to be a minister. You can minister to a lot of people in the avenue that you want to go. And I knew my parents were both teachers, and maybe I'm just not very imaginative. You know, they were both teachers, and it was like, this is what I want to do. At the time, it was, I really wanted to coach football. So I said, okay, I'm going to teach math, because I was a good math student. I'm going to teach math, and I'm going to coach high school football. And that was the decision until I got to college. And then when I got to college, I was like, wow, okay, I really like this setting better. And not to get into the college thing, but then it expanded from there. But that high school moment was kind of led me to that this is what I want to do. I want to be involved in this my whole life, not necessarily just because of the sport, but because of the teaching. Like my parents were both teachers and coaches, and they coached everything. And to see the impact that they were having on their students, it's like, you know, we can have this kind of impact. And I think that maybe that came a little bit later. I think early on it was more the football, football, football. but there was always that part of it. And I think that part of it grew as I became older.
But I love the statement that was made about you don't have to be a priest to minister to people. And I get a sense that you saw that a little more clearly once you were at Gettysburg College. I mentioned in the intro that you played football at Gettysburg College, but
right.
You were involved with another program there too. Share with the audience what else you were doing during your time there.
Sure. I was pretty heavily involved in the Fellowship of Christian Athletes there. So the college career was interesting because it was, you know, I came into college with a, you know how it is when you come from high school and you're with your parents, now you get into college and your faith is really tested, you know, because it's all the different ideas that are thrown on there. And that's a good thing. You get tested. You get all the things you've been learning up through high school. Now you get to college and they're all going to get tested. All your ideas, all your beliefs, everything. And so it was nice to be able to grasp onto different things. I was in a fraternity, all that stuff, but it was really the Fellowship of Christian Athletes early in my career there that kind of kept me centered, kind of kept me really involved in my faith walk more. FCA is a little bit more of a non-denominational organization. At the time, there was no Catholic version of that. So this was what I kind of bought into. And to be honest, I probably have the kids in there were Catholic as well. But that wasn't really a discussion. It was just, hey, let's talk about the struggles that we're having at the college setting, not just the struggles, but a lot of times that's what it was. You know, so as a Christian athlete in a college setting, here are the things that I'm facing. Here are some of the problems I'm having. Here are some of the struggles I'm having. And to have other people to be able to sit around it and be able to have those discussions was just awesome. I mean, I can't tell you how much that helped my own faith. And then my last couple of years there, we had a priest that was new there who became our campus priest, and he was a good influence as well. So that combination, but it was really FCA really, really helped me along on that faith journey until those last couple of years when we had Father San Isandro that came on board as well. So FCA was a big part of that because it gave me that outlet of, okay, there are a lot of other things going on college campus, some of which I want to be involved with, some of which I don't want to be involved with. You know, what can kind of keep me focused on what I need to stay focused on, and where I can relate to some of the people that are involved more. And so that's where FCA became. I was the vice president of FCA, the whole thing. And the president was a good friend of mine. He was also a Catholic. And it was, you know, it was just a great time for us.
Yeah, it sounds like it. It sounds like it. And then later you came back to Gettysburg College as an assistant coach, and there ended up being someone there who you have said was a big influence on you and your wife.
Absolutely. And again, I know it's kind of funny, but I've been very blessed and very fortunate to have two priests in my life that were really three, if you consider Father San Isandro, the small time at Gettysburg. But Father Phil Berger, who's also a parish priest still in the Diocese of Harrisburg, Phil was just awesome. You know, very, like, totally different from Monsignor Smith. And Monsignor Smith was a domineering, I don't know if down is probably not the best word. Father Smith was a leader. He was a stand up in front, lead the charge, you know, a very dominant personality. Whereas Father Phil was a lot more, hey, we're going to talk, let's talk this out. You know, a lot more friendly-ish, you know, I'm going to have a one-on-one conversation. So I'll give you an example. We actually had a Bible study that we started, and we had there was a nun there at the time who I cannot remember her name, and I know it's terrible. And between Phil and Sister Margaret, I can't remember her name, but they would come in and they would kind of help the Bible study along. And we would get to the point where we would read one line and we would spend the next 20 minutes dissecting that line because Phil was so good at the history of it. And, you know, well, here's where that comes from. Mm. Here's the context. Here's the reality, and just fascinating.
Wow.
Like, he was so well, he had such great knowledge that he just had us all in string. And when he was, the nights he was there, it would be like, literally, we would not get through, we would get through maybe one line, maybe two lines. And it was always more about, okay, well, that, let's go into that. Let's talk about that. Because it was great. It may have been the deepest, most philosophically religious conversation that I've had.
Hmm.
With a group and individually.
Fantastic.
It just really, and because it was coming from a Catholic perspective, it really fit the bill. You know, and FCA was great, and I love FCA to death, and they've, you know, but it, again, coming probably from a more non-denominational,
yeah,
literalistic point of view, as opposed to more of a Catholic point of view, it was great to have the discussion with Phil and say, well, here's what the Catholic Church says about that. Here's where we're at. Here's where the historic perspective of this stuff my wife and I were going through at the time with family and all different things. Phil just had a great perspective on things in terms of, okay, here's the spirit of the law. Here's what the letter of the law is. Here's the spirit of the law. Here's really what we're trying to accomplish in that. It was totally
tremendous.
Fascinating.
Yeah, that's tremendous.
Very, very fortunate. Yeah, and we've kept in touch with Phil. I was very fortunate when my mother passed away 8 years ago. As a matter of fact, today, 8 years ago today, Father Phil actually came back and helped with the service.
Wow.
At St. Paul's as well, which was fantastic.
That's beautiful.
So just a great guy, and you know, we were fortunate enough that my wife and I would do the readings. And, you know, when I was a student there, I was a Eucharistic minister. And so when I went back there as a coach, I was fortunate enough to be able to get involved in there as well. So
terrific.
Very fortunate to have a couple of priests like that in my life.
Yeah, it sure sounds like it. Listeners, I remember when I was growing up and getting asked in school all the time, oh, are you Ray's brother? And I kind of think about the movie Fred Claus, where Vince Vaughn, if you've ever seen the movie Fred Claus, Vince Vaughn plays Fred, who is the brother of Santa Claus. And there's a scene in there where they're showing a siblings anonymous meeting, and the brother of Sylvester Stallone is shown, the brother of Alec Baldwin, the brother of Bill Clinton. And Joe is like me in getting asked, oh, are you the brother of? But before I ask him to talk about how he has handled that, the day that Joe and I are recording this, I received an email this morning from someone saying they were mailing me a check, which you've heard me mention before as a method you can utilize to support my ministry. I'm also grateful for those that have contributed through the Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net. Your contributions help so much in me being able to keep this ministry going, especially since I have no sponsors and I don't draw any income from doing this, not to mention that I'm just one person doing this all by myself, meaning booking the guests, writing and recording the show, plus doing all the editing, promotional, and administrative work. But I am committed to using my time and talent to give back to the kingdom for all that God has done in my life. My prayer is that Catholic Sports Radio is helping you in your faith life, and that the work that I do and the testimonies, the stories that my guests share are a valuable resource to you in your walk with Christ. I have said that if this ministry moves just one person closer to him, then thank you, God, for using me and this show as the vehicle to accomplish that. So I do ask that you prayerfully consider supporting my ministry, either through getting in touch with me through the contact page of the website to ask for the address to send a check to, or by utilizing the Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net. In the case of the online donations, it is safe and secure. Others have done it before you, and you determine the amount that you feel comfortable contributing. There are not predetermined amounts for you to choose from. You put in whatever you wish. No contribution is too big and no contribution is too small. It all helps me with being able to continue on with this ministry. So, Joe, I'm realizing that I was starting to say about Siblings Anonymous from the Fred Claus movie, but you probably have not only gotten, are you Frank Reich's brother, but at some point I'm sure you probably used to get, or are you Frank's son, being that your dad, also named Frank, was so involved in football too. How have you dealt with that? Because I feel like there's a natural fit here for the fact that we always say that our identity is in Christ.
Right. No doubt. I get asked that a lot, and I got to be honest with you, I've never had an issue with that. It's never been a thing for me. I think because when we were growing up, I was always very proud of my brother and my sister too. I have an older sister and I just never really, I never looked at it as a comparison game. Number one, I'm doing my own thing. You know, I would joke around with my brother. You know, I was president of my high school class for 4 straight years. And I always felt like, look, I'm doing my own thing. You know, like I'm not, yes, we're both involved in football, but it wasn't. I never felt like I was competing against him. I never felt like it was something that I had to be in a shadow. I'm like, look, I'm gonna be me. I'm gonna do me. You do you. And it's been great. And I think when he got into college, or when he went to the University of Maryland and played football there, it was really that was great. And I was always proud of him. You know, I was not as talented. I ended up playing at Gettysburg College, a Division III school, and he and I had this discussion once after we both got done with college. We were just kind of sitting around talking one day, and I was telling about something that happened in Gettysburg and blah blah blah. And he looked at me. He goes, I won a conference championship, an ACC championship, and got carried off my off on the shoulders of my team when I was a senior. This is my brother talking.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, and I hear you talk about Gettysburg, and I'm not sure who had a better college experience, you or I did. Like, that's how much I enjoyed going to Gettysburg. And, you know, like, I just never, like, okay, look, I was always very happy for my brother. And that's awesome, and that's great. I've always felt like, you know, you're always striving for something. You know what I mean? That, like, like God has kind of always put it in my mind. I'm going to strive to get better. I'm going to strive to accomplish something. I'm going to strive to help people. So it never really, that part of it, that, hey, your brother's playing the NFL. Hey, your brother's an NFL head coach now. All that, that's all great. But, you know, when I was in college, I was like, you know, this is what I want to do. I want to coach college football now. I was going to be a high school coach and teacher, but when I got to college, it was like, okay, I want to be a small college football coach and a head coach somewhere at a small college, and that's what I've been doing for 20 years. So, you know, to me, it's like, okay, no, I see. People don't see the other side of it. You know, my brother's an NFL coach, and they don't see that he's spending 18 hours a day in the office. And it's just crushing. And he's been fired 5 times, and you know, all the stuff. That's all great, you know. And he's very happy with where he's at. I'm very happy where I'm at in terms of, you know, I love it here at Wingate. It doesn't mean that I'll retire here. I don't know. Maybe I will. Maybe I won't. Whatever doors the Lord opens up for us down the road, I'm open to going through them. And if that means that I stay here for the next 15 years and retire here, awesome. I would consider that a blessing.
Yeah.
But if it's, hey, go to work for, you know, Matt Rhule, who's the head coach of the Carolina Panthers, who I hired as a GA back when I was at the University of Buffalo.
Wow.
Go to work for him. Great. Maybe that's what it is someday. So it really, I don't know. Like, I just, that has never been a thing for me. I get that question a lot. Well, hell, your brother. And yeah, that's great. I'm totally proud of my brother and my sister and where they're at and the things they've done. And that's all great. But I just... You know, I tell our team all the time, the comparison game is a game you can never win. You just, you know, don't try to, you know, particularly in the age of social media, because you're only going to see the good things on social media that people post. Oh, you know, hey, look at my life, it's so great. Well, you know, that's not always the way it is. You know, I can tell you that for a fact. That's not the way it is. So don't play the comparison game. Just be the best. And, you know, we talk to our team all the time about that in terms of, because this generation in particular has grown up with putting their whole life out there on social media. And some of that's good. And social media is the evil of all things. I'm not like that. But you have to, you know, everything in moderation. You have to understand what social media is, what it can do for you, and what it can do to you. So let's just make sure that you handle it the right way. So I don't know if I answered your question.
Yeah, you did.
But that's, you know, that's...
No, it was nicely said, because, you know, what I'm feeling as you're saying it all is that if we spend time looking to see where somebody else is going, then we're not paying attention to the path that God has paved for us.
Amen.
So I love your statement about the comparison game. We've mentioned your dad a couple of times. What is this Man of Malvern retreat that you did with him?
Right. So in Malvern, Pennsylvania, there's an annual retreat there. And I think there is I don't know if it's a convent there but it's just outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And it's you know, like if you go to the retreat and spend a couple nights there, at the end of it, it's, you're a man of Malvern. Like, you've done the retreat overall. And it was a great opportunity for, it's the first time my dad and I had ever done something like that together. My dad was a very faithful man and very always trying to get better in his faith, kind of thing. So when he asked me to do it, I mean, I think I was still coaching at the University of Buffalo at the time. So it was probably 23 years ago, if I remember correctly. And it was awesome. It was really, you know, we had a great time. He and I had a chance to really spend time doing something really ever done before like that. And I really enjoyed it. It was kind of one of those things where when I went back home after that, not home, when I went to my parents' place afterwards, I was talking to my high school friends, And I just wanted to ask, well, what are you doing? Well, I went to this retreat town in Malvern. And he was the one that looked at me and goes, oh, you're a man of Malvern now. And I was like, yeah, that's right. And he had done the same thing.
Nice.
So it kind of became like this, you know, this, you know, so that if you've ever done it, that's what it is. End up, you're a man of Malvern.
Okay. Okay. Well, I won't necessarily say Catholic, but when a student athlete plays football for Joe Reich at Wingate University, what shows them that you are a devout, I'll say, Christian?
Sure. Absolutely. I think to me, it's about how you lead your life, how you carry yourself. Every Friday night, we do a chapel service with the local FCA guy on during the season. So we do things like that, and we will bring it up. I have the FCA guy here, Shannon Powell, is a very strong. He's a strong leader. He does a great job. So we bring him in once a week to really kind of infuse that into the team, and I think he does a great job with that. So. That's number one, is that we give him access to the program that I wouldn't just necessarily give anybody from outside the program that kind of access. But mm-hmm. he has earned that access with the type of man that he is, with the things that he preaches, and with the way he does it, I guess, is the best thing, is the best way to say that. I mean, I think you probably understand what I'm saying there. He is a spiritual guy, and where, you know, whatever, wherever you're getting that spiritually, that's okay. Whether you're a Catholic, whether you're a Baptist, yeah. whether you're non-denominational, and he's okay with that. Here's the core of the ministry. Mm-hmm. And he does a phenomenal job with that.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of just every day, I think, hopefully my guys see that in the way that I carry myself and the way that I speak. Again, like everybody else, I'm going to stumble and fall a number of times, and hopefully they understand that's part of the deal as well. But you know, how you carry yourself, the type of language you use, the way you treat people with respect. And then in the private conversations, when people come in, and you're part of what we do is mentoring young men, you know, when they come in and they have issues in their lives or they want to talk things through, that's a part of it. And I hope that comes about in those conversations,
yeah,
and in the program that we run overall.
Nice. Well, you spent so many years in the Northeast.
Correct.
When you got the chance to go to North Carolina to work at Wingate, did you see God's hand in that maybe he wanted to take you out of your comfort zone to answer a call to lead young men elsewhere, that he needed you to do his work down south? Like, was there a discernment period before accepting the job there?
Sure. I am definitely believing, like, hey, what's the door you want opened? You know, where do you want me to go that, you know, that I'm like, now I'm also he gives you the tools kind of guy. Like, this is, you know, I've given you these tools, and I've given you the wisdom, I've given you the knowledge. So where do you think you need to go, Joe? Okay, well, look, this was the right call. This is what prayed about. This is what felt right for me in coming down here.
Wow.
And it was interesting when I got down here, because if you haven't been down to North Carolina, particularly recently, or you haven't, like, so when we first got down here 20 years ago, you know, the county that we're in is right next to Mecklenburg County. Mecklenburg County is Charlotte, is the city of Charlotte. There are a lot of Northeastern transplants in Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give an example. St. Matthew's, which is the Catholic church that we did go to originally when we first got here. It was a little bit of a drive, but we went there. St. Matthew's is the largest Catholic, is the largest church of any denomination in either one of the Carolinas.
Wow.
It's absolutely huge. I don't remember the total number, but it's absolutely huge. And the parish priest at the time was a gentleman by the name of Monsignor McSweeney, who is now retired. But Monsignor, again, very similar to Monsignor Smith from when I was younger, he was a parish priest. Like, ran the show, got it done. You know, we used to joke around because we'd be watching him on the altar, and if he got mad at one of the altar servers, you could tell he would walk over and say something to him, and they would straighten up, and, you know, he just totally in charge, you know, totally in the fit. Just got, you know, his homilies were great, just really very impactful. But in Union County, our county, really the only Catholic church in Union County is Lady of the Lords. And at the time, it was so small that we had young children. We're like, we can't bring our kids in here, because if we bring our kids in here and they make any noise, everybody's going to hear. So we went to St. Matthew's instead. And then when Lord's built a new church, then we consequently turned around to Lord's. And we've since then, now we go to St. Luke's up in Milton Hill, which is about 20 minutes away. But it's, you know, at the time it was in Union County, there weren't a whole lot of Catholics. I'll just tell you that. It was just. there were just a handful of us. Now it's really built up. There's a Lourdes is probably 78% Hispanic now, with a lot of Hispanic people moving into there, which is great. They're all great people, and I really, that's a great thing. And so the ministry has really gone that direction in a lot of ways. But they've really brought a kind of a flair that's really been great. I mean, I think they've added a lot of energy and a lot of life to the Catholic Church in the area. So it's really been a great thing. I mean, I think that the church is built up then on campus. The Wingate was at one time when we first got here, it was a Southern Baptist affiliated school.
Uh-huh.
It has since kind of lost that. It's now historically Baptist, but we're not affiliated with the Southern Baptist or the North Carolina Baptist Convention anymore. But it still has that ties, so it still has a Christian background to it, which I think is great.
Yeah.
Obviously, coming from a Catholic perspective, I was able to, as we recruited more guys, obviously we picked up a few Catholic guys along the way, and that's been, so we've had a little bit of a balance there, I guess is the best way to say it.
Gotcha. Well, we're out of time, but let's just close by having you share with the audience about your immediate family, how long you've been married, how many children you have, those types of details.
Sure, absolutely. Yes, I have been married for 29 years now.
Wow.
Or 30th year will be coming up here next summer. So I've got to think of something really good for the 30th anniversary. my wife has already told me that. I have three children. My son Shane is 25. And he actually was living down in Florida, down closer to you. He's actually moving back up to North Carolina. He's changing jobs. Mm. He's a graduate of Stetson University. And then I have twin girls that are, Colleen and Lindsay, that are both seniors in college right now. One's at App and one's at UNCC. So very proud of all three of them. They're great kids. And, you know, we're definitely it's a tight-knit family. And certainly have enjoyed our time here in North Carolina. So we moved here when my son was five and my girls were two. So this is North Carolina, what they know.
Yeah, for sure. That's beautiful. Well, Joe, God bless you and your family, and thank you for your time, and best of luck with everything at Wingate University this football season.
Thanks, Bruce. I really appreciate it.
Listeners, since we have a coach on the line, let us close this episode with a prayer for coaches, and we'll do it, of course, together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From 1 Corinthians 15, "Therefore, my dear brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Lord, it is so easy for me to lose perspective, to get focused on the little picture of my job rather than on the big picture of the work to which you have called me. Help me to persevere. Amen." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.